Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and rejoice, rejoice, the markets are finally closed. Happy Friday. Today we are doing a live stream, just thought it'd be a good way to wrap up the week. We don't actually have a lot of Tesla news, so I felt like today maybe just spend a little time talking about the stock, talking about the macro environment, and then leave a little bit of time for question and answer if we've got it. Probably have about 30 minutes or so here. So let's get into it. We'll start off with the stock as we normally do. So not a great day. Tesla again down 5.25% to $943.90 on the day today. A little bit further down in after hours, down to around 936 as I am streaming here. And again, another worst 10 performing days in the last year for the NASDAQ. Anytime we're in that down 2.5% range, we know it's going to be one of those days. So the NASDAQ today finishing down about 2.75%. Probably comes in at the sixth or seventh worst day in the last year. So rough start to 2022 continues. Just for a little bit of context here, I want to spend a couple minutes on a couple things. First, we'll talk about Netflix earnings yesterday. I mentioned that a little bit. I want to go into a little bit more detail on that and then the macro as well. So I guess let's start off with the Netflix piece and then we'll come back to the macro stuff. So Netflix was down 22% today, and I just wanted to use this as kind of an example to provide some context for what's going on with Tesla right now. Obviously, these are, you know, only tangentially related to some extent, but what we're seeing here with Netflix, them falling 22%, this is not something that, it's not the type of situation that you need to worry about Tesla being in, or at least that I'm not worried about Tesla being in. When we look at what happened with Netflix, a couple things. They did beat earnings per share. So, oh, you come into earnings and you have these great expectations and then the company blows it away and then the stock is down 20%. What's happening? Well, the big thing here is guidance. So Netflix, they guided for new subscriber growth to be less than half of what the expectations were for the upcoming quarter. Then they also guided for operating margins for 2022 to decline year over year. So basically, they're only forecasting for around 4% or so subscriber growth for this upcoming year, declining operating margins. Obviously, that's not really the situation you want a growth company to be in. So you've got a company like Netflix that, you know, was trading around 50 times earnings. You're going to expect a lot more growth from a company like that. And if you don't see it, what's going to happen is the growth story kind of ends. People say like, oh, it's, you know, Netflix played out. It's kind of reached its peak. Margins are declining. Subscriber growth is not increasing very quickly. So growth investors will sell out of it, especially in a market like this where growth is already being crushed. And you don't have value investors then coming in and saying, oh, I want to buy Netflix at a 35 times price to earnings ratio. So that's kind of what's happening here with Netflix. That's not the type of situation that Tesla is going to be in because Tesla has such a good, strong growth outlook. This would be equivalent to Tesla coming on the earnings call and saying, yep, we know we said that, you know, we're going to grow at 50% per year for a multi-year time horizon, but this year we're only going to grow 25%. And then maybe, you know, who knows beyond that. That would be kind of cutting their, you know, the market's expectations in half. And to some extent, that's what Netflix did here. I don't follow the company as closely, so I don't know as specifically, but that's my perception from what I've read in terms of recaps from the earnings report. So situation here with Netflix, this is very different than what's going to happen with Tesla. Tesla has that clear growth path, regardless of what's happening in the macro environment right now. That is going to be maintained. Tesla's got demand. They've got production, hopefully. Production is probably more of a question, but the demand is certainly there, even in a more challenging macro environment. So we just don't have those same concerns that a company like Netflix has. So let's see. I had one other point there, but now it's slipping my mind. Hopefully we can come back to that. But with the macro environment, so a couple of questions I put out on Twitter earlier just that I was going to be doing this live stream and got a couple of questions on the macro environment. macro environment, how low can Tesla go? And then historical PE compressions during recessions, like what have we seen here in the past if this macro decline continues? So I just wanted to bring in a little bit of context from that. First of all, if we go back just to like the stock price performance, Tesla's actually performing pretty well year to date. So year to date right now, Tesla's down 10.5% or so from December 31st closing price. The NASDAQ's actually down 12% year to date. So Tesla actually outperforming the NASDAQ, which generally in any occasion where the NASDAQ is down significantly, Tesla as a high beta stock is going to be down more in general, all else held equal. So we're seeing strength here in Tesla because of what Tesla delivered on the Q4 production and delivery report, that huge beat that we saw. I think that's contributing to the relative strength, even though it certainly doesn't feel like it, the relative strength that we're seeing here from Tesla. And just to bring in some more context on that, not to pick on ARK, I know a lot of people here probably invested in ARK, but ARK is, you know, a composite of a lot of different high growth stocks with high price earnings multiples, maybe not even price earnings multiples because they're not profitable yet. That is kind of a good proxy for growth stocks in general, or one proxy for growth stocks in general, in addition to the NASDAQ as a whole. ARK year to date is down 24.5%. So again, not trying to pick on them, just bringing that in for more context. A lot of other stocks in these high multiple, high growth categories are down 2-3 times what Tesla is down so far year to date. In addition, the NASDAQ underperforming where Tesla's at too. You can also tell that growth is being beaten down by looking at the Dow. The Dow's only down 5.5% year to date. The S&P down 7.5%. So growth getting hit more. Tesla actually doing pretty well. Again, doesn't feel like it, but just to bring in some of that context for where we're at. If we look at down from all-time high, Tesla's now 24% or so off the all-time high versus the NASDAQ down about 15%. So the NASDAQ definitely in that correction territory. The S&P is down about 9%. So another day like today would pull the S&P technically into correction territory, which I'm not big on technicals, but that could be a catalyst for things to kind of turn around a little bit. Obviously, next week, a big week with the macro environment. But let's answer those questions. Like, if this keeps getting worse, I'm not super bearish on the macro environment right now, but let's just say it keeps getting worse. Let's look at a couple of examples. So first off, corrections like this happen a lot. So correction generally referred to as a 10% drop in the macro indices. Here we're looking at the S&P 500. It's a little bit difficult to find it for the NASDAQ, and that's probably going to happen more frequently, but every about a year and a half, you're going to see a 10% correction in the S&P 500. Every couple of years, a 15% correction. Every 4 years, a 20% correction. This is just on average, obviously. So you could see a couple in, you know, period of a few months in general, but that's kind of what you're looking at. So down 10%, the S&P 500, we're not even there yet. And that happens pretty frequently. So it's happening fast, but again, it's not like we're in this incredibly unique period of time right now. And the next point I want to bring in here is what we've kind of been talking about with yields. So we've been looking a lot at, you know, interest rates and yields of the 10-year and things like that. There was a good article here that kind of looked at the correlation in yield for the 10-year and the QQQ, so the NASDAQ 100. And you can see here that it's been actually pretty heavily correlated in a negative direction, so having opposite movements, you know, for the last few months here. They're showing a correlation of almost negative 0.9. So it kind of seems like, okay, 10-year moves up, interest rates move up, stocks move down. And if we're at a low interest rate environment right now, if that keeps happening, which would kind of be the only direction that it could go almost, certainly there's more room on one end of that scale than the other, then okay, our stock's going to keep moving down. Well, maybe, maybe not. If you zoom out and you look at the correlation over longer periods of time, it's oscillating here between positive and negative. So really not much correlation being established. I haven't looked at, you know, these numbers myself, but this is what they're showing in this article. So as I was just doing a little bit of research for this episode today, thought that that was pretty interesting and a good reminder that, you know, oftentimes, and especially in the financial media, and I guess I include myself in that to some extent, when we're looking for reasons to explain what's going on in the market, I think that's an easy one to kind of point to. And there are fundamental reasons why it does make sense. And that's why people talk about it a lot, because it's something we can kind of understand and say, okay, if, you know, rates are going up, that means borrowing money is more expensive. There's less room, you know, that means that companies are going to have to take on more debt to finance their growth. That's going to be more expensive. So they're going to have less cash flow in the future because of that. All these sort of things that actually fundamentally make sense for higher interest rates causing declines in stocks. But a lot of the market is expectation based, right? So the impact of a 10-year yield increasing by 10 basis points on a discount rate over 2 decades, there's going to be some impact there, but it's pretty small. It's not insignificant, but it's pretty small. Really, what is more important is the expectation, and I think that's why you kind of see some of this oscillation. It's not necessarily so much what's actually happening with interest rates or whatever else. A lot of it is just expectation based. So I think right now what's happening is we're kind of seeing this correction based on increased expectations of rates increasing. And my hope, you know, I'm not super confident in this, but my hope would be that as we kind of get into the Fed meeting next week, some of that uncertainty gets removed and the market kind of calms down and we'll be in correction territory, at least for the NASDAQ, maybe the S&P as well, which again, not uncommon. And hopefully people can kind of just relax a little bit, right? Because there are good things happening in the economy too. And that's why, you know, I take a look at the contrast between a company like Netflix and a company like Tesla, where, yeah, Netflix individually might be having a tougher time and the haircut in their price earnings multiple seems pretty justified. For a company like Tesla, Tesla's going in the opposite direction, right? Like they beat Q4 expectations in terms of production and deliveries. We're probably, you know, my best guess is that we'll see a beat on Q4 earnings. And it's just, you know, looks really good at the trajectory from there. So I still feel confident in Tesla. We're still going to be at the whimsy of the macro economic environment. But yeah, hopefully that's some helpful context. The other thing, the other question that was in here, historical PE during recessions. So I did just quickly look at, I don't think this is like a 2008 type of situation. I don't think we're going to see the, you know, NASDAQ down 30-40% or whatever that we did during that period. But, and maybe it was even more than that. I can't remember exactly, but I did just want to look, you know, it's always good to kind of be prepared for something like that to happen just in case it does. I think Dave Lee has commented on this a couple times. He thinks about like looking at his portfolio and just cuts the value in half just in case that were to happen, right? And I think that's a good mentality to have. And certainly if you're using leverage or options, it's good to explore those worst case scenarios and just make sure that you can survive them and be okay both mentally and financially. So anyway, looking at Amazon, the period of time we're looking at right now is 2006 to 2010. So kind of like the 2 years on either side of, you know, the 2008 financial crisis. And I think Amazon's a pretty good proxy. We'll take a look at Apple too. But Amazon's one of those companies that had high growth, high multiple. So you can see kind of heading into the financial crisis, Amazon was trading at a multiple of, you know, 100 times earnings, let's say 110. Then we started having that recession. And then sort of in the depths of 2008, you can see the price to earnings ratio declined all the way to 34 times sales or 34 times earnings, even though earnings did increase pretty significantly. So they went from 87 cents all the way up to $1.50. So almost doubling earnings, and yet their price to earnings ratio compressed by, you know, compressed to a third of what it was. So I don't think, when we think about Tesla in the context of what we're talking about here, I don't think a compression for Tesla's price to earnings ratio would be as steep because the earnings outlook for Tesla is higher than the earnings outlook for Amazon would have been at this time in terms of the growth rates. And we can kind of use the benefit of forward-lookingness here or whatever, foresight, I guess, is a more accurate way to state that. We can use the benefit of hindsight, foresight, I guess, here. And we can see that a year after this point where they were trading at 34 times earnings, you go to the end of 2009, all of a sudden the earnings ratio is back up to 66. The stock price is, you know, almost tripled. Earnings per share up by about 50% from where they were, up above $2. So things recover pretty quickly. They get back that, you know, high growth multiple, even with, let's say, only 50% earnings growth, actually even less than that. A little bit less than 50%. Sorry, my upstairs neighbor's coming back. They have a dog. The earnings multiple here. So what I'm saying that we get the benefit of foresight is if we look here when they were 34 times earnings, they ended up earning $2 over the next, you know, 12 months. This is trailing 12 months. So their forward price to earnings at this point with the stock price of 50 would have been about 25X, which that's kind of where the market's always thinking, right? Always thinking forward. I don't know what the forecasts were around that time, but let's just assume that they were kind of in that ballpark. That means sort of at its worst, the price forward price to earnings ratio for Amazon was about 25 times. If we think about Tesla and we think about kind of a worst case scenario, where I would think the worst forward price to earnings that we could see not absolute worst, but in general, I would have a tough time seeing it go below 50 times, because Tesla's growth projections should be at least double this rate of what we're seeing here from Amazon during this really tough period of time. So if they were at 25 times forward earnings, if we've got double the growth on that, I think 50 times earnings on a forward basis is probably sort of the valley that we could see for Tesla. So let's think about where we're coming off of here for Q4 this year. I think most people expect Tesla to post GAAP earnings per share above $2 per share just for the quarter. That'll annualize to more than $8. So even not even on a forward-looking basis, if you kind of come in, you kind of come into that with a 100 price to earnings ratio like we're seeing here from Amazon, then that would put the stock price at, you know, 850-ish. And to me, that feels like a pretty decent floor for Tesla. But if you go ahead and then say, okay, 50 times forward earnings, and you go out to 2022, I think most people are expecting Tesla to deliver more than $9 earnings per share this year on a GAAP basis. My expectations are higher. Let's just say 10 to keep the math simple. 50 times that, I think worst case here, you'd probably end up with Tesla at around $500 per share. And people might recoil when they hear that. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm just saying, okay, worst case, what would that look like? And that would end up being a, you know, 65% haircut from Tesla's peak, which we maybe have seen once in Tesla's history. I think we've seen a couple dips below 50%, maybe one below 60%, if I remember correctly. So that would kind of track with what's happened historically. Again, I don't expect that. I think there's going to be a lot of support from a fundamental perspective for Tesla to trade around that 100 times forward earnings. So we're getting pretty close into that $800, $900 range. But I do still think it's helpful to just kind of think about that and say, okay, worst case, let's say the NASDAQ drops another 20, 30%. I think Tesla would have a lot of support in that type of an environment at those levels. I did just want to also take a look at Apple. I don't remember if I had any specific thoughts on this, but you can also see that Apple's price to earnings, they kind of came in to 2008 around 37, and they ended up dropping all the way down to 9. So you can kind of see pretty similar price to earnings multiples getting cut like 33% or 66% for both of these companies. So if Tesla's normally trading at, you know, 100 times forward earnings and 150 times previously, then you kind of get into that 50 times range. So a lot of mental math there. That's just kind of off the top of my head, but hopefully that helps with some of the questions on how low Tesla could go and the historical PE compressions. It's difficult for Tesla because it is so fast growing right now that, you know, there's really not great comparisons for it, but those are kind of the best that I can see. And again, that should just emphasize like how different of a situation Tesla is in versus a company like Netflix. Like Netflix, you could definitely see in a bad situation going from, I think it was maybe 70 times earnings before, down to 22-ish or whatever a third of that would be, you know, 23. So I think that would be something you would see from a normal growth company, but Tesla, it's just growing too quickly to have that kind of a compression that quickly. So those are some thoughts on that. The other question that I got in here was on earnings. So just kind of like what I'm expecting. Just wanted to give you guys a heads up. I'll share my earnings forecast early next week. That's when I'm planning to do that, either Monday or Tuesday. We'll see. I'm working on that over this weekend. I am excited about earnings because, again, I think it's going to demonstrate how different Tesla is and how strong fundamentally Tesla is, which should provide a lot of strength. But I don't know if it's going to cause a huge rally. I think a lot of that is going to depend on the macro environment. So who knows? The thing that worries me most about the earnings call is actually not that Elon's going to be on the call, but just Elon's product roadmap. I think a lot of people are excited about that. And that's kind of what this question is about. But I don't know. It's when Elon gets on the calls, he tends to, I think, emphasize how difficult what Tesla is doing is. And that's good. And I think it is good acknowledgement for all the employees that are, you know, working their tails off to make this stuff happen. But at the same time, Wall Street doesn't really necessarily like hearing about those challenges. So if Elon comes on and talks about how, okay, this, you know, the Cybertruck, maybe that's out to 2023, but it's for a good reason. You know, we're doing all this other stuff and it's very exciting. I don't know that Wall Street's going to react all that positively to a conversation like that. So we'll see. I think it's more of a risk than anything that would be positive, but there's always the potential for some surprises in something like that. I think it just oftentimes things like that are easy to get excited about and then easy to end up disappointed with in hindsight. So we'll see. But those are my thoughts on sort of that piece of it. The other thing I wanted to comment on is guidance. So I've seen people talking about, okay, what kind of guidance would Tesla give, especially with the context of Netflix. Personally, I love that Tesla has adopted this sort of like no guidance strategy or just really high level guidance that they really never change. So I expect Tesla to just go ahead and when they're creating this document, go in there, copy that, and then paste it into the Q4 document too. I think they're just going to continue to say we expect to achieve 50% average annual growth in vehicle deliveries. It's going to depend on, you know, X, Y, and Z. If they'd changed from that, I would be disappointed. I want them to keep that and just let it be. And that's what the guidance is. And that's all Tesla gives. That's a good way to go. That's a long-term strategy that is going to maybe not make as much short-term movement in the stock as Tesla coming out and saying, yep, we're going to deliver 80% growth this year and everyone gets excited about it. But then next year, if they drop down to 40%, you know, Tesla's up and down. And it kind of depends on when factory capacity comes online. So this is a preferred long-term strategy, and I hope Tesla will stick with that, as I expect them to. Okay, so those are my thoughts on earnings. One other story, and then I probably will check out the chats here. There was a report today that Tesla is aiming, this is from Electrek, Tesla aiming to deliver a few Model Ys from Giga Texas by the end of the quarter. So they say that sources familiar with the matter told Electrek that. And I think there was one other thing. They're currently doing test production batches, according to these sources, at Giga Texas. So I think neither of those things really all that surprising. You know, from the drone flyovers, we can definitely see some vehicles being produced there. We've seen them in the factory and the parking lots nearby. So not too surprising. We've still got a lot of quarter left. I think we're, you know, about 25% of the way through the quarter right now. So I think that's, you know, it is kind of in line with expectations. Hopefully we'll hear an update on the earnings call about Tesla actually starting production. That's my hope. But yeah, I certainly would expect deliveries this quarter. Okay, let me hop into the chat. And I know that was, again, probably a little bit choppy. Hopefully everything worked okay. I'm gonna take a look at some of the chats here. Let me just flip back here and I guess give us something to watch. Thanks, Gianni. Appreciate that. Again, I can never say your name, but again, thank you. So this is the washout I think we've all been waiting for. Dollars will reallocate accordingly. Yeah, I tend to agree with that. And again, that's, again, coming back to the contrast of Netflix and Tesla, right? There's a lot of different things happening in the market right now, and Netflix is one point of contrast, but then you also look at companies like, you know, we've been talking a little bit about Ford, we've been talking a little bit about GM, Lucid, Rivian. Like, these companies have pretty high valuations, and I think most of that has been a function of the market kind of inflating asset prices. And certainly a company like Rivian or Lucid, even though I think they've actually been doing okay the last couple of days, but those companies are going to have a really, really hard time growing into their valuations. Netflix now, with this lower guidance, showing the market that they're going to have a really hard time growing into their valuation. It's going to be a long time before Tesla or before Netflix gets back to their all-time high, which I think is the point that I forgot earlier. It's going to be a long time. They're going to have to really work into it, and the growth multiple that they've had historically, it's pretty much gone with this type of guidance. So really they're just going to have to execute and fundamentally get back to that level versus a company like Tesla. We see them executing. Nothing has changed fundamentally. If anything, they're ahead of expectations, and pretty significantly. That's part of the relative strength. And that's going to make Tesla, when the market does bottom out and eventually turn around, I think Tesla will rise pretty quickly with it for those reasons. versus a company like Netflix, maybe not so much. A company like Lucid or Rivian, who knows? You know, they can kind of do whatever. But point being, there's a lot of fluff in the market right now. Some of that coming out of the market, I'm totally fine with. Unfortunately, Tesla gets wrapped up in it as it happens, but ultimately probably a good and healthy thing. All right, just looking through a couple other chats here. Thank you, Julian. Appreciate that. Mac, thank you. Can you guys hear that dog? I don't know. I always have to re-record when they come back, when I'm doing the edited version. Trent Gilly. This, I feel like this name is familiar to me. We're investing in Tesla for what they'll be worth in 2025, 2030. What happens to the stock in the next few years is just noise. Excellent point. It's a good reminder, especially during periods like this. You know, Tesla is where it was like 3 weeks ago. You know, we're at 940 right now. All we have to do is go back to December 21st. So a month ago, 1 month ago, Tesla is where it was a month ago. If you would have been sleeping for a month or on vacation for a month or something, that'd be a great vacation. But yeah, you'd come back and everything looks great. And oh, by the way, the NASDAQ is down. Let's see. So Tesla's where it was a month ago, and the NASDAQ is probably down 15%-ish from where it was a month ago. So that was probably pretty close to the all-time highs. Yeah, so we're at like, what, 13.7 divided by 15.3. Yeah, NASDAQ's down about 10.5%, and Tesla's flat. So again, relative strength, that indicator of relative strength is going to change depending on what time frame you select, but Tesla's holding up pretty darn good. And a lot of that is because, again, the fundamental business is strong. We just got to kind of get through this period of time. Charlie saying, is the demand for Tesla strong enough to maintain 50% CAGR through a recession? Personally, I think it is. I don't have much to support that point of view, I guess, other than just my intuition. But I guess what I would add to, in addition to just my intuition, would be that Tesla has very strong margins, and strong margins allow them the flexibility to lower prices if they need to and work through those periods of time. So yes, I do think the demand is certainly strong enough. I mean, think about in the United States right now, Tesla is not even offering a standard range Model Y. We know that was on the roadmap. Tesla introduced it for like 2 weeks, and then they quickly realized that they don't need it. But if there were a prolonged period of economic compression, certainly Tesla could bring that back. That should also, well, I don't know if I'll go there in terms of the materials cost, but potentially it could reduce some of their costs as well if a period of time like that happened. Good question, though. And I'll think a little bit more about that to see if I can bring any more analysis to that. Other than my intuition. Obviously, Tesla's got a big backlog, so that is a part of it. Thank you, John. Always appreciate that support. Well, that must have been okay. Looks like we've only got I know you guys can't see dislikes anymore, but I can see it on my little live stream app here. And we've only got three of them, so I'm always a little bit self-conscious of these presentations as I go through them, but hopefully that was at least to some extent helpful. Let me just take a quick look at my notes and see if there's anything else in here, and then probably hop off. Or if anyone has any couple of questions. Oops, didn't mean to add that, but I don't know what context that is. Just taking a look here. Yeah, I saw someone in the chat say Tesla's long-term, just chill. And totally agree. It's just a good reminder. I think periods of time like this are always a good reminder just to relax a little bit, keep that long-term perspective, which again, only is looking better for Tesla. And that's what's important ultimately, not what's happening with the 10-year yield. whether it's going up 10 basis points or down 10 basis points. Yes, those will have an impact, but the impact of that is much, much smaller than Tesla executing its own fundamental business. So one of them should have our focus and the other one not quite so much, despite what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks. All right, so I don't see any other questions in here. So that will wrap it up for me for the day and for the week. As always, thanks for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you again on Monday for the January 24th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.